Welcome to Integration Excellence, the podcast around enterprise integration and interface management. We explore topics related to integration in the SAP world and beyond. My name is Adam Kivon. I'm an SAP integration expert, book author, trainer, and founder of White Paper Interface Design. Enjoy. Yeah, welcome to another episode of Integration Excellence. And this is the first episode in English after a long, one month summer break. And I have the honor to have Florian Okos with me from SAP Germany. And Florian is, will introduce himself right after. But it's really great. We switched the podcast to English just to, you know, increase the audience, to not only have our English speaking audience watching this on YouTube with subtitles, but we thought most of the people speak English anyway, also living in Germany. So we thought we give it a go, see if this is working maybe well. And I hope my English is not too bad for you, all of you to listen. And this is the novelty about the podcast right now. So yeah, again, Florian, thanks for joining our call. Thanks to following the invitation. It's really a pleasure having you with me. And yeah, maybe let's start with a short intro. Tell us what you do at SAP.
Thanks for having me, Adam. The same statement is valid for me. I hope my English is proper enough to host the session together today with you. Welcome from our new Hannover office at SAP. My name is Florian Okos. LinkedIn just reminded me I'm 12 years now with SAP, more or less always in the same role. So on the paper, I'm technology architect with the main focus on technical integration. And as you can imagine, my learning curve, I started as a classical B2B developer, taking care about 85 ANSI AS2. I went ahead to B2G business, Nota Fiscal, and so on. All, let's say, implemented on an own converter during these days. Moved ahead to PIPO business, classical implementation, followed by HCI, HANA Cloud Integration, now known as Integration Suite. My current focus is mainly on event-driven architecture as well as overall integration architecture, mainly often in the focus of S4HANA, S4HANA Rise, because our customers are on this journey. Yeah. And one important component is also the component of today, the edge integration. So.
Yeah, great. Yeah, that brings us to our topic for today, because in advance, before, you know, setting up the call, setting up the recording, we were thinking about what could be a good topic to talk about, Florian, and you have a wide range of areas you are dealing with, especially architectural topics, especially, you know, influencing our customers and you know, working with them, dealing with them on a day-to-day basis as well. In the field, hands-on even, but not coding, but rather in an advisory role and in a trusted advisor position. But yeah, there are a lot of topics, and we will for sure come back with another recording, I hope, about other trendy topics and things that are moving our customers. But today, and I think it's quite interesting, will be edge integration as a topic. And I know this is a to-do for many, many customers, especially in the large enterprise segment. Florian, let's maybe start with a very simple question. Why do I need edge integration cell if I have already a PO in my landscape and if I have an integration suite in my landscape for my cloud business?
Yeah. So for sure, important for our customers to understand is that PIPO has a certain end of maintenance, right? This is the one perspective on it. And on the other hand, it's important to understand that the edge integration cell is an optional runtime as part of the integration suite. So it's a kind of logical successor of the PIPO landscape. So for sure, we have to offer our customers a certain way forward where they can re-implement or migrate the current on-premise to on-premise interfaces of the new landscape.
Yeah, this is great. So, I mean, just to sum it up, at the end, you know, moving away from PIPO towards integration suite and bringing everything into the cloud is not realistic, yeah, for many use cases, for many scenarios where you have, you know, an on-premise intensive connectivity or message throughput. So Edge Integration Cell is just another runtime. So I think that's where the challenges arise, because, you know, Integration Suite being a SaaS solution or an IPaaS operated and run by SAP in a specific data center of a cloud provider like AWS or Azure. This is different with Edge Integration Cell. So what is the main difference around that?
So what we already see right now, let's say the real starting for the customer is a little bit more challenging for sure compared to the Integration Suite itself. Yeah? Because at this component is running, let's say, in a private on-premise landscape within the customer network, the groundwork, the infrastructure needs to be handled also on the customer side. Having said that, they are, let's say, the underlying platform, which is required as a real prerequisite, is a Kubernetes cluster. And here also our customers for sure have different options. Either they can, let's say, host and operate their Kubernetes cluster really more or less by their own. And here we offer, let's say, the platforms SUSE Ranger and Red Hat. Yeah, it's not really by their own, but quite close really in their network. And also the big platform providers, AWS and Azure, they also offer, let's say, Kubernetes as a service. Yeah? It feels now a little bit cloudy again, but they offer, let's say, this private link that we call it an extended private network or something like that. But this is, let's say, the foundation Kubernetes cluster.
Yeah.
And the Edge Integration Cell solution itself, then in the end, we're going to deploy into this Kubernetes cluster.
Yeah. Okay, I mean, when I heard this for the very first time, I thought, why would I bring, you know, something that is already in the cloud again into the cloud with AWS or Azure? But the reality is many, many customers, even if they, you know, speak about still running things on premise, they have brought much of their landscape into Azure or into AWS already. Yeah. So, you know, with the wish not, wanting to operate their stuff on premise in their own data center anymore. Yeah. So that totally makes sense. But it also implies.
My current experience is that the German market, they really foresee, let's say, the hosting in their real own network, be it on SUSE or be it on Red Hat. The international customers I'm working with, they are all on AWS and Azure. So
okay.
Not all, yeah. It's a tough statement, but this is what I see from the market.
Wow. Okay, that's a good separation, yeah. But the reality then is, if you have to go to an approach through Kubernetes, it means you have to have Kubernetes knowledge in your organization, in your company, before you go for that, right? I mean,
When now, let's say, starting such a project, we have to consider at least one additional role. Yeah? In the past, we said you need somebody like a basis guy, somebody we call BTP administrator, feeling responsible for service enablement, user management, and so on. And we had the classic developer. And now we introduce the third role, or maybe already there, maybe not, a system administrator, so somebody who really needs the knowledge on the Kubernetes side of the house. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Also there, you can, let's say, get support from different operators out there, but you also can decide to operate, maintain everything by your own as a customer. But this is a new role, the system administrator.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, that makes sense. And honestly, when I was speaking to many customers, especially large enterprises, most of them were already using some stuff. I mean, not maybe in the SAP domain, but in their IT, they already were having somewhere a Kubernetes knowledge, and then they have to connect somehow, right?
Yeah. This is also what we see, especially with the big clusters. We're not the first one having the requirement to use a Kubernetes cluster. Important here to say, maybe recommendation is that the Edge Integration Cell is getting an own cluster. So do not deploy the solution within an existing cluster or into an existing cluster, but decide to create a new Kubernetes cluster just for the use case of Edge Integration Cell.
Okay. That's already good to know. Just maybe probably also to minimize the side effects or the combined issues. Okay, I can understand. Okay, then maybe a very basic question, but I think you mentioned it earlier. This is a pure runtime component, right? So the design time remains in the cloud. The design time remains in the environment where we are used to. So we are still building our integration flows, API proxies, whatsoever in the browser, in the cloud. And then it's just an additional on-premise runtime. Can you maybe guide us through what are the components, what are the elements that are inside this this runtime, which is special?
The runtime itself, the components, maybe the surrounding infrastructure is now maybe a little bit more complex, because it's a kind of powerful installation. But let's say from the component, you have again worker nodes. Worker nodes, as you also know from cloud integration, where you can run then the so-called iFlows. Yeah? It's more or less the same iFlow, which you know from the cloud design time and also from the cloud runtime. This worker node is available on premise, I already say, in the HSL as well. Mm-hmm. Then there's a policy engine. Also on premise now, you have the possibility to implement API management features like quota, for example. And this policy engine is taking care that the execution of a certain policy can be fulfilled. What else we need? We need a kind of messaging service. Keep in mind JMS or async messages. So we have a messaging service, which is kind of representing the JMS feature. Yeah. And two more features, storage. Whenever we transact data here and there, we need the option to store data. And it's not, again, a long-term archive, but let's say store data during the runtime. And here we need a database, SQL. And last but not least, for typical API management cases, we often need so-called lookup cache storage. Yeah? And here one component or the leading component is the Redis.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay.
These are the components, let's say, in the Edge integration solution itself. But having said that, we also have to consider maybe surrounded systems. Yeah? The one is, as we're now accessing the solution somewhere hosted in the Kubernetes, and I can tell you the underlying, let's say, monitoring right now is Grafana. We have to consider the Grafana knowledge, maybe, if we are interested in tracing. Yeah, mm-hmm. We have to consider the EIS in order to get access for our users. And I guess that's basically it. Besides the components and EIS and the underlying Grafana, which you do not have to operate and manage, yeah, it's part of the solution itself.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Okay. And you were speaking about additional knowledge. So if I have an additional database, an additional, let's say standard components, is it really required to dig into that, to dive into that topics, or can I take it for fully managed in terms of, yeah. I mean,
unfortunately not for the customer. So in the, let's say, development environment, you can easily click, say, I'm not hosting my own database and so on. And you get, let's say, for a development sandbox environment, a small database as part of the product to get started. Yeah. Mm-hmm. For productive users, you have to bring your own databases and as part of the Kubernetes cluster. So somebody, mm-hmm. maybe the same Kubernetes team, maybe another, let's say, storage expert, yeah, has also to run, install, and operate then the databases on behalf of the customer. Mm-hmm. Yeah. In the sandbox, there's this easy checkbox, please SAP, let's take the embedded one, but for productive cases, not.
Okay. So it's really a shift in terms of responsibility and going back to the classical approach of being more responsible for the own environment, for the own platform, for the own runtime.
And to be honest, also this is kind of the challenge we see right now together with our customers, is a crystal clear guided racing. Yeah. As now, let's say the operations again here with the customer, we deliver software on top on a monthly base. Yeah. Kubernetes is shipping software on a 3-month base. So you get software from all the sides. You have a customer, you are responsible to have everything up to date to a certain version N-1. Yeah. And for sure, we have to bring a crystal clear paper out there, and there is some paper, but maybe even more precise paper. Yeah, who is responsible within the setup for what component, and also maybe during, let's say, a narrow case. Yeah? Mm-hmm. It's still a kind of young product. GA was for Edge Integration last year, October, November, if I'm not totally wrong. And concepts are there, but we're still working on here and there for some experience, learning curve, and so on.
Of course, it's still it's still ongoing, it's still improving, and that's normal with a rather young product. But you know, most of the components are already there and already mature. But yeah, just the combination and the special side of it is maybe a bit particular. Okay, going maybe one step back to the functionality. So from the integration suite components, I think we didn't touch that yet. So you mentioned a messaging service, database for persistency. So that implies we have definitely cloud integration on it. We have with the policy engine the API management or the API gateway component deployed on it. Yeah. Is there anything else on the integration side? I think there is also for the eventing there is also a local component. Not yet, huh?
No. So what is covered are the two artifacts: integration flow, classical CPI processes, and a new, at least new artifact called API artifact. Yeah. It's, let's say, from the feature set, not all the policies you might know, let's say, from the API management in the cloud are there due to a certain reason. You will figure out and find out that the design time of an API management now maps, let's say, the design time of a CPI flow. You're not designing the API policies anymore, let's say, in the old case, but you now see really the same iFlow for API management that you know from the CPI, and you define. You can, both, let's say, use both feature sets. You can use in an iFlow now the feature sets of an API mentioned plus the given old features from CPI. Yeah? Mm-hmm. So we're bringing both design times now to one design time, yeah? Okay. Which is a little bit making the life easier for sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah? Where you also can see that, let's say, you can combine now both, let's say, both feature sets and deploy just simply one iFlow. Important to understand also then when you check the SAP roadmap, that SAP is not planning to ship now policies over policies or policies anymore, but we're going to reuse given, let's say, features from CPI. Best example, for example, XSLT mapping. Yeah? In the API management world, on the integration suite cloud side, there was an own policy for XSLT. As we know when to use what, we rather would see mappings, scriptings, and stuff like that in a classical process integration, CPI world. Yeah, and this is what's now possible in this new design time. You can take the, let's say, policies like quota, for example, in the from the feature set of API management, plus the feature XSLT or message mapping or scripting from the CPI feature side. Yeah. One iFlow. Then you more or less continue, as you might know, from the PO CPI runtime. You have an underlying product profile. You say, then, hey, I'm going to deploy the Edge integration cell, for example, and this is how it then works. From the given features, there is a web page. I'm not, let's say, sum them all up, but from the CPI side, more or less everything is there. Like the converter, the message transformator, splitting, aggregation, persistent, all you need. Yeah. Mm-hmm. From the API management side, there are, there's quota, there is, I guess, spike arrest, and another threat. There are features out there. I cannot sum them up all. But right now, the number of API policies is a little bit reduced compared to the number of policies from the cloud side of the house.
Okay. Okay. But this is really great that they are kind of, you know, being brought a bit tighter together, that you can pick the features as you like and as you require at that time. And you don't have to, you know, artificially start using an additional component, but you can really use it all in one. And that also explains probably the licensing policy that, in the cloud and integration suite, if you have an API proxy along with an iFlow, you would pay twice for this, for one message, right? And now as it is by default combined into one artifact, it is only counted as one message and then even discounted by 50%, right?
True. And from the development perspective, you do not have to jump open two screens, one for API management and one for classical. You define and design it in one screen.
Yeah. No, that's really.
As I'm a technical person, I'm less interested in this commercial things. I'm just kidding. In the
improvement. Okay. No, of course. All right. No, we will definitely also share the links in the show notes, of course. Yeah, and also some technical information, like, you know, what to consider when you start, what are the best ways to dig into the topic, even things like a sizing guide, right? You know, what requirements are needed. I mean, those are typical questions we always had to answer when we started installing a PO or you know, any system. And this was kind of away for a while. Now, having another on-prem component, we have to go back to the typical, you know, topics like sizing requirements, environments, additional databases, licensing, and all this stuff, right?
Cool.
Okay. Cool. All right. And then you mentioned shortly that a kind of eventing, a messaging backbone in terms of event mesh is not yet part of the on-premise runtime, but I think it's already on the roadmap, right?
I have not checked before the session. I maybe have to check with the product team. I have not seen it. I can imagine that for the, let's say, on-premise eventing, the SAP strategy might be the advanced event mesh side. Because here you have full flexibility on the event mesh side. You can deploy it in the cloud, as you know, but you also can run an advanced event mesh on-premise. And I'm not fully sure if we provide a small event broker inside the Edge integration side.
Okay. I mean, in any case, always good to know and always good to follow up is I always go through the Discovery Center to check for the latest roadmap. Maybe we can also add a link here to the Discovery Center again to navigate to the integration suite and then see in the roadmap what comes next and what is planned for the next quarters. All right. I think what would be good to know is also, is there anything that is really heavily missing still, or can we start right away in terms of?
No. So there is, also you will add it to the notes, I assume. There is a SAP note about known limitations. Yeah. And if your leading use case is classical B2B business, 85 partner directory, number ranges and so on, it's not covered yet. B2B features, yes, the AD converter is covered, but B2B features are not part of the solution yet. You might see it, if I'm not totally wrong, the main features on Q4 this year, maybe Q1 next year, but not covered yet. What else? And here and there, some features which should help you maybe also during your operations. Some of our customers have a link to their archiving system. Archiving is not supported yet. Some of our customers are using cloud the access policies that you can restrict the view on certain IE flows. Access policies also not supported. It's all on the roadmap. I guess most of the things I'm currently expanding even for this year, but check carefully the roadmap explorer. Maybe also important to mention is that trial is not supported. But the reason is quite simple. In order, in the cloud side, to make some clicks and to have an up and running trial instance is easy. Yeah? To have a trial instance available with an underlying, well-working Kubernetes setup, it's maybe far too much. So right now, I guess we do not consider SAP to offer the trial, trial subscription for it.
Okay. Yeah? Okay.
Having said that, I'm not sure if it's now also a good time to have a little bit the roadmap discussion or?
For sure.
Yeah. Because most of the things I mentioned right now will be part of the roadmap of the B2B monitoring, the B2B features, partner directory and so on, the access policies, I guess all even this year. Some adapters you will see are not part, let's say, of the solution itself. The RFC adapter is missing. The file adapter will be released. Now, when we are back, let's say on the classical on-premise side of the house, yeah, we can access our share system again, our file system. I guess also Q4, with a disclaimer, but I guess Q4 this year. And for some of our customers, maybe with Asia business, but also maybe around the globe, the Google Kubernetes is on the roadmap, as well as the Alibaba Kubernetes. Yeah? And we have some customers who are interested now in, let's say, on the China market to implement the same, and for sure they are looking forward for the Alibaba platform.
Yeah, for sure.
There are some small features as well, which I do not recap right now anymore, but those are the main features, I would say.
Okay, cool. Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, especially if you are doing business in China and you have, you know, people or personal data processed in China, you have to remain in China, and then therefore you need the entire runtime on there, either integration suite on Alibaba Cloud or the on-premise alternative right now. Good. I think we are coming already to an end. Let me check what I still have in my question list about the topics. Maybe one remark with regards to possibly migrating from PO. For sure, I know, I mean, you also know, there is no automated way to fully transition in PO iFlow or integrated configuration into also not Edge integration cell. But is there anything helping here with the new environment, with the new runtime?
So for sure, what we recommend right now is, let's say, use the given features from the PIPO migration assessment and from the migration tooling. So what we have on the market already is to check, let's say, against the ESR and integration builder, the existing PIPO scenarios, and the original idea is to move it to the integration suite cloud side of the house. But if we have then, let's say, the iFlows anywhere in the cloud, it's also then quite simple to deploy them again into the Edge integration set. So make uses of PI assessment and PI move features in order also then to evaluate with the change of the product profile if this iFlow also couldn't then run, let's say, on the Edge integration side of the house. What I'm currently discussing, let's say, with the team around the PI assessment is, when we know those are the given iFlows on the PIPO, and when we're having access to the underlying, let's say, runtime statistics, transactions per week, transactions per month, maybe message size and so on, we also could consider, let's say, in a kind of recommended sizing for Edge integration set. Because if you start with the sizing of the Edge integration set, you have to answer the basic questions. How many messages per week, per month, size of message? And if we now in the PI assessment already have access to all this information, we as SAP, we have to consider even maybe to give some insights, guidance, recommendations into the sizing of Edge integrations. It's not there yet, but this for sure is what we are going to discuss here on the P side.
So you have the information and the customer can extract all this, but has to do the transfer step himself, right? But now you're thinking about even providing another guideline here, which is great, which is great. Cool. Nice. Sounds good. All right. So anything else I forgot, Florian? What did we cover? Anything, everything about Edge integration cell we need to know?
Let me check my notes here.
No. But I believe our...
The most, well, more or less all the topics on a high level we covered. Maybe kind of just a recommendation at the end. You will share the information, Adam, but there are two or three very helpful subnotes out there. The FAQ, the most known question, 30 of them. The how to get started is out there. The known limitations, And I guess this is the best and easy starting point. And also another recommendation, if you plan your first Edge integration cell project, or at least the project, but sandbox, whatever, consider some additional time. Well knowing that maybe the Kubernetes, the software deployment is new, maybe for some of our customers. In your project plan, do not consider 2 days or 1 week, consider maybe one or two additional weeks. This is a typical problem, or let's say misassumption I currently see with our customers. Because often here we have to consider also the network topic again. And this is something customers often underestimate.
Yeah, how to wire all the connectivity to the real systems, even though it's separated in a specific segment of the network, right?
Yes, it's a separate segment within Kubernetes. You have to create own certificates for your edge integration 7. Yeah, so there is some complexity. If you have done it once for your sandbox, the next environment is quite easy. Yeah, but especially the learning curve when you start is really straight.
cool, great. Excellent. Thank you very much, Florian. Okay. Maybe next time when I will have you here with me, we can speak about adoption rates and other experiences from that. Would be really great to also maybe see some statistics or at least some experiences, some typical pitfalls you have been seeing with clients. So it would be great to also have this knowledge shared. Thanks, Florian.
Thanks.
It was a pleasure having you. And talk soon.
See ya.
Thank you. Bye.
How mature is your organization when it comes to integration topics? Find out for free with our integration maturity assessment at wint.co/IMA. That's WHINT.co/IMA. In case you want to take control of your integration landscape to increase transparency and automate your integration quality processes, please schedule a call at wint.co/contact. If you enjoyed the content, please like and subscribe to our podcast. See you next time.